If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Welcome to the shift with Dez and Katie. Two generations, 2 points of view coming at you. It's the shift. Stand by.
So anyway, here we are. Hey, let's just start, guys, because you know sometimes these conversations, they just take off from the get-go. So welcome back to the shift, everybody. Dez and Katie here. Katie, you want to introduce Jack, actually?
Yeah, this is Jack Comstock. He's a good friend of mine.
Wow, good. Thank you.
You've actually, Jack's actually been to Ireland.
Yeah. Very, very beautiful landscape.
Yeah, he took a picture of his iris in my field.
Yeah.
So. Oh, in your field, in Longford.
Yeah.
In Longford,
I took a picture of my iris in Longford. I took one in the town, everywhere. I was taking pictures of my ass everywhere, acting like we had to poop outside.
Now we can talk about we can talk about whatever, but just to tee it up for the listeners, Katie.
Yes.
Katie and Jack, actually, just quickly tee up the main theme of this conversation so they know what they're in for.
So basically I asked Jack to come on because his father was a sperm donor, and Jack found out via the sperm children years later.
One of the most successful sperm donors.
Oh, wonderful. So before we get into the story, Jack, this came up on my other podcast, right, Katie? Wasn't that it?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say too much about it, but I am actually writing a comedy drama thing with a lesbian comedian. And it's all to do with like sperm donors. I won't say too much, but I've been thinking about this a lot. So when it came up on the Dez Bishop podcast, it actually came up randomly with a couple of other comics. It wasn't a plan for us to talk about it. And then Katie was like, oh my God, we have to talk to Jack because I had stumbled upon this article about a guy that's had like 20 people show up into his life. You know, basically they're all his children. But anyway, tell us about your story.
It's crazy how it just pops up, and it's not something I think from the 80s anyone thought was going to be possible. So
your dad was donating sperm in the 80s?
Yeah, before I was born. Yeah. And how I found out about it was I got a random Facebook message from someone one day, like out of the blue, and they were just like, hey, are you Joe Comstock's son? Because if you are, I'm your sister. And I was like, wow, like, you know, these bots are crazy. Like, what does this bot want from me? Like, I'm assuming it's a Russian pirate trying to steal all 10 of my dollars or something. So, but like the picture on the Facebook page looked just like a combination of my dad and my sister. Like, it looked like they went through my Facebook and like found two pictures of my family members and spliced them together in an app and then made my dad's sister.
Wow. And how old were you at this stage, by the way?
This is 2 years ago. This
oh, only like 2 years ago.
This is a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. Yeah, this is like still happening. And, you know, I still have found out up until a few months. I bet like 6 months ago I found out about someone added a name or something like that. I've met them and stuff. So it's added a lot.
So what happened? So you see this picture and then you're...
Okay, so yeah, so it was so crazy that I even sent the picture to my family group chat. Like, look at this. bot. Look what they did to this picture of Dad in Georgia. This is crazy. Looks just like him. And my mom's like, who is that? And my dad's like, it's no one. It's just a robot. Me and my sister are laughing. But then after a couple of days, I like message it back. I was like, yo, how did you make this picture? What app made this picture? I have to know. And they're like, and then I had like 50 messages like, no. My mom got a sperm donation in the 80s. Your dad was the donor. And I was like, she sent a picture of her brother. And I was like, okay, how'd you get another picture of my dad? It was so, it looked more like my dad than anyone in my whole family has ever looked like. It was crazy.
That's crazy. I mean, there's no other word to describe it.
Yeah. So I'm like, all right, I'm on my way to work. I get these messages. So I text my dad. I'm like, sorry, I'm moving my camera around a lot.
That's fine.
A bunch of coffee. I text my dad. I was like, yo, dad, so did you donate a bunch of sperm in the 80s? He's like, yeah. I'm like, what? Are these people? He goes, yeah. I was like, what?
He knew straight away when you sent the picture.
Yeah, yeah. He knew because I guess they had contacted him.
Right. So the shock, he didn't find out from your picture. He knew already, but just didn't say.
Right. He knew already, but didn't say anything because he was afraid of what my mom was going to do.
He wasn't going to buy the sperm donation story.
right. Yeah. And it's like, you know, it's because 23andMe, right? They did 23andMe.
Yeah, so I was going to ask that next.
Yeah, you can check a box that says, like, if there's a blood relative, they can find you. You can, if you don't check it, they can't see you show up. But, and you know, people are like, he had to have known. But I think my dad, I've known my dad for about 30 years now. And there is no fucking way that he thought that far ahead. That he thought this could happen. Like, even when he did 23andMe, I don't think for a second he thought back to those times he donated sperm and was like, I wonder if someone, like, there's no way.
Well, I think in the early, you know, it's only coming out like the last sort of 4 or 5 years that people are finding their full siblings that were adopted. And, you know, all this stuff is happening because of 23andMe and Ancestry. So I think it's very believable that your dad had no idea. Like, did you ask him, did you do 23andMe privately thinking that maybe this might happen? Did you ask him that? Or he wanted to know his genetics?
I didn't ask him because, you know, I mean, if you knew my dad, my grandparents, they're just old farm people from Nebraska, small town. Like, when my grandparents were old and retired, they would just go through and find lineage. They would go through obituaries from years and find, like, they would build their own lineage and do 23andMe on their own, basically, to find out like as far up as they could go using obits and stuff like that. So
yeah.
I think it was just a thing that they were super fascinated by. And so when it happened, him and my mom both got it. And I remember going to Thanksgiving and like I was visiting back into Nebraska and they were like, we did 23andMe. And they were so stoked. My dad's like, I have 0.01% Mongolian. It's like, okay, yeah, cool.
Yeah, I have under 1% Ashkenazi Jew.
Yeah, so my mom is 50% Ashkenazi Jew.
Is that right?
Yeah, she found out. She called those the smart ones. I don't know if that's a lie, but she is half.
It'll help you in your comedy career, so that's all. But she knew, she must have known she was half Ashkenazi Jew.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She knew her grandpa, her dad was Jewish, but I don't know if she knew his Ashkenazi or what. I don't even know if she, I didn't know that word before she.
Basically, it just means like Eastern European Jew. The majority of American Jews are Ashkenazi Jews.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So that makes sense.
I had no idea, but I didn't meet Jewish people until I moved to America.
I joined the Jewish golf club. I've become very up on the different sects.
the Jewish golf club.
I thought what are they called? The Jewish people in Brooklyn?
Hasidics.
I thought they were Amish people for ages.
I mean, I think everyone who moves to New York who isn't from there is like, is that what Amish people are? I've seen them in movies.
No.
Right, you got the hat and the haircut. So it's hard to tell, but they are. But then they hold a cell phone. That's how you tell if it's Hasid or Amish.
Yeah, well, remember, well, yeah.
They sell cameras.
Yeah.
Is it puppy mills or cameras? I learned that lately. The Amish are big into puppy mills. Sorry. Pandemic fact that I learned.
Yeah, it's something because they can sell them and they have nothing to do with technology. It's just nature.
Go ahead. Imagine,
so what happened then when your dad was like, when he was like, oh yeah, this is because I donated sperm then.
That's what she had given me the whole spiel and is like, oh, this is my brother. And, you know, I have a couple other, I was stoked about it. I thought it was so cool and interesting. Oh, right.
It was all positive for you.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, I was just like, oh my God, this is so cool. Like this, see what my dad's face and like, how could we have, they're from like Massachusetts maybe or something like Northeastern. And my dad is from Nebraska. And he also, he's been there the whole time. So it's not like he ever went out. So apparently in the 80s, like late 80s, there's like the whole AIDS was like becoming a real scare. And the three main sperm donation locations were like New York, Los Angeles, and Omaha, Nebraska.
Why Omaha?
I think it's one of the biggest cities that's like really just the Midwest. It's not the biggest, but it's like really centralized. It's right on I-80. It's just super centralized. So it has like 8 hours to Denver, 8 hours to Chicago. It's pretty close to everything, but it's also a lot of commerce goes through it, like trucks and all that stuff. So it's just kind of like a space. And everyone from the coast came into Nebraska, like wanted to come to somewhere in the Midwest because they thought, you know, it's like safer because there's less gay people or whatever. And they're afraid about for AIDS. And there's just more closeted gay people in Omaha. So they didn't, I guess it was a lot of that kind of thing that brought them to Omaha.
Nowadays, it's like Denmark is the big sperm donation spot.
Is it?
Yeah, it's not the hint of that. Did your dad tell you why he donated sperm? Would you get paid or what back then?
Yeah, well, he said he was like, because he's a freelance artist. He's an artist and he was just doing freelance back in the 80s. And he's like, yeah, well, he had a buddy who worked at the bank. And he's like, not many people knew you could get money to donate sperm. It wasn't like now we have the internet where every article on a man's Instagram is like, you could donate sperm and make money. And it's like, not anymore because everyone knows about it. But in the 80s, there's like seven people who knew about it probably. He just was like, yeah, I just knew a guy who worked there. He told me to come in. So he's like, yeah, he went in and did it. And they gave him, I don't know how much money they gave him. I have a feeling it was like about $100. I feel like that's just a guess. I know my dad, he would do it for about $100. So they were like, at one point I was like, there's like seven or eight now, like kids.
Oh,
like
so seven or eight have revealed themselves?
Right. Through. And that's just like the ones who have done 23 and
yes
or whatever. And, I guess so. What? So if you use it for once, like you can use it again. Like you can, they'll save the same sperm.
One load, they can use twice.
Like a family can use it. So I guess one load they can use like up to four times or something, or two to four times. So there's like four sets of. So it started to dawn on me that he donated, like in my mind, he went and donated once, and they just like put that shit in a factory, and it just replicated and made. But then I was like, it started to do the math. I was like, Dad, how many times do you think he went and donated sperm? And he just goes, a bunch. A bunch. What? They're paying me. You can go like a couple times a week and get paid to do it. So I'm like,
You're jerking off anyway.
Yeah, this whole time I had this like romantic view of my dad in the 80s being a struggling artist. He's just selling his damn cum the whole time, making a living off of selling his load. And I guess they used it like a lot. I guess I was reading about it a little bit, and I guess some sperm sticks better, stickier.
So your dad's turned out to be potent sperm.
Yeah,
he is sticky sperm.
He had a good nut.
This is the first of the foster dogs I've had that actually barks sometimes.
Oh, really?
He doesn't bark that long, but he does bark.
He's like, I have good sperm.
Yeah, he doesn't actually, unfortunately. He doesn't have the ability to produce sperm anymore. But anyway, so first of all, can I just say, in terms of the first couple of interactions that you had with these people, what were they looking for? What was their hope? Because I'm
sure everybody
has different wants.
that's kind of like, that's where my sister, see, I'm kind of a trusting, I trust easily. My dad's the same way. Like, we'll just be like, to me, no agenda. I'm just like, this is just an interesting thing they found out about. Like, they're two. Okay, so what I found out was right away that the one who reached out to me, there was a brother and sister, and then she told me about another brother and sister, but that other brother and sister didn't know that they were sperm donation babies.
Oh, they had it had, and how did
they did it now?
They didn't know.
So when they did 23andMe, they matched with this other girl, and they messaged her, and they were like, "Oh, our dad must have donated sperm to you, and that's to your parents, and that's how." But then, when my dad did it, it came up that both of them traced back to him. So that's how they found out that their dad was that they had to use a sperm donation because I don't know for whatever reason.
So that's how they found out their dad wasn't their biological.
Right. So that's how they found out. Yeah.
That's tough. I would consider that to be the moral hazard of
right. Right. And they did not seem super. They messaged my dad, but they weren't trying to reach out to us. And I think they really were like, not. They didn't want to form a relationship or anything. Which I mean, I don't. That's there's totally no reason fine. To form a relationship in any of this. Like, yeah. it's if you want to, that's fine. If you don't want to, I don't see. Also, that is so fair. And they also reached out and were like, is there history of health problems? Like, what kind of health right. stuff should we look out for? Like, that, I guess that was the reason. So two of them were pretty like distant and didn't really, they were just like, oh, we found out about this and now let's just leave it at
that. Did you tell them the good news that they're going to have sticky sperm?
Yeah. I told them you better use two condoms. You're going to catch it all. I apologize for them having my dad's big ass head. It's just a bunch of melon heads running around now. Giant cum sucking.
So those two just, they just wanted the bare minimum, right?
I don't think they were expecting something like that. I don't know what, but I did. They weren't as. So then the one who reached out to me, she was like, I just had twins and I have another kid. You're an uncle. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm not. We're biologically related, but I'm not an uncle. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's the boundaries is tough, yeah. You know? And so, the crazy thing about all this is, different people have different wants and needs, and it's
right.
complicated.
And that's what my sister immediately was like, I don't know if I trust this person. And like, why is she even reaching out? What does this matter? Like, why is she reaching out to you? You didn't even do 23andMe. This was like dad. Like, why, what is going on? And then she Googled her name and I guess there was a GoFundMe and I was like, all right, you made me.
What was the GoFundMe for?
Like a van or something. Like, cause she had these two kids and like, she just, oh, they were like single or something. And, you know, I don't know. She didn't ask me for anything. It wasn't like, I didn't know about that. She didn't bring that up or nothing about a GoFundMe. That was just something Georgia, my sister, found. So I don't know the total validity of that, but also I just kind of stopped contacting that person just cause I was like, I don't know what is, don't call me an uncle. It was a little weird to be like, you're an uncle.
Sure.
I'm like, look, you can say, like dibblings is what they call donation siblings.
Is that dibblings. Right?
That's the term, dibblings. I believe. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that was a little, that was like the first interaction. But I was still like in this phase of like, man, this is so cool and this is so awesome. And just like all the, like these different people now that have my face.
And you were up to four at that stage, right?
Yeah, and that was four. Yeah. And then, at one point I was telling this story as a joke on stage and I got a text while I was on the stage that I didn't check. But when I got off, it was someone else. It was someone with a fifth person who was like, hey, I talked to these people and also and like, this is cool. I'm also one of like, so her parents were lesbians and she had a brother and they each had one using my dad's sperm. Each of the parents had a kid and then they separated. And in the early 90s, there was no, you know, like gay marriage wasn't like technically recognized or legal a lot. So there's no like rules on who took the kids. So they just each took their respective kids and they kind of grew up separate and then met. And then they, but like in the same city, but their parents didn't get along. But I guess, but they're good. So
they didn't
close now.
Know each other?
Yeah, yeah. So
even
they
though
like,
they were genuinely like full brother and sister, really. Right, I mean, not genetically, right, but they should have been brother and sister.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they also spent like 15 years until like their mid-20s, they finally reconnected. I mean, they knew of each other, but they just weren't like, they didn't act like it or brother and sister or whatever. But then they formed a relationship and they're brother and sister now. And I was like, oh my God, Dad, I just heard about Thalia.
And they both need a dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
They never had a dad.
Yeah. They need someone to open a pickle jar for them. And I was like, Dad, do you know Thalia? And he goes, yeah, Thalia, Blake told me about her. I'm like, Dad, who is Blake? You can't just drop. So that shot it from 5 to 7.
Wow.
So
who was Blake?
Blake is, oh man, Blake's really interesting too. He grew up in Nebraska, like an hour away from me. The two with the lesbian moms, they grew up in Arizona, I'm pretty sure. And then Blake grew up in Lincoln, Nebraska, and also didn't know, you know, I'm like, sometimes I'm aware of what I should be talking about and saying, like,
yeah, well, you know, private, yeah, I mean, you don't want to
give private info. Yeah, yeah, but,
yeah.
But he thought his dad
changed their names.
Right, yeah, yeah.
These are fake names.
Let's go in after this and edit me saying other names over him. Ryan, Jane. I really should have done fake.
It's all Irish listeners.
Yeah, Dibbling number 7, yeah.
That's what I figured. Yeah, I was like, well, hopefully no one sees this.
So what are you now?
Okay, so Blake was half Lebanese his whole life until he found out he wasn't.
Wow, see, that's tough, you know, that's so interesting, yeah.
But it's like,
oh, so he thought, so his father is Lebanese, so
but my dad has black hair and like, his, you know, people in his family tan. I got my mom's red hair and pale ass skin, but, and all her looks, thank God, but
revealed. How old was he when he found this out?
Oh, I mean, he's 30. He's like a year or two older than I am, yeah, yeah.
And he was never told.
Yeah, I guess it wasn't like that important to, it's one of those things where it just doesn't even matter. Is it that crazy to not tell them that there's sperm donation?
Well, that's a great debate. I mean, like, about, because this is the conversations I have with my buddy that I'm writing this thing with, is that, you know, people have different theories on revealing. Like, for example, her, you know, her two kids, she's in a lesbian relationship. Her two kids are from the same donor, but they know the donor. But those kids already know that, you know, they came from somebody else and they know their donor.
Right.
You know, they know the donor.
She was like friends with him.
Yeah. He's still involved in their life, but not in any capacity other than he's still their friend. And that they know that he has something to do with them being alive.
Okay.
But obviously they're waiting, they'll slowly reveal more and more. But they, when she's asked, like, I don't know how to explain exactly, but all I know is that they're told that he helped you guys to be born.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
And that's from the get-go. But then people have different theories about when you're supposed to let them know. And
well, because the worry is, like, with this guy in Lincoln, let's say I know you're straight, but what if you were gay and Lincoln is so close to Omaha and you had like hooked up with him one night?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, some of the girls I've been like, would I? And I'm like, no, absolutely. They look like my dad. I could never hook up to my dad's face. So I don't know I bet we would have been friends and not hooked up just because I have this view. I've met a bunch of them, a gathering of them, and we all have a lot in common. They're all really cool. Everyone's really chill. It seems really fun.
In terms of, there was no lasting problems for that guy though, in terms of like, that's quite the bombshell. You know, it was okay. I mean, you can't speak on his behalf. I'm just curious.
Yeah. Right. And I'm not totally sure. Cause like we talk, but we don't stay, I'm not like hitting him up every day and we're not like acting super close, but like if he's coming through, he's come to visit. Two of them live in Boston, and when they all get together, they'll come here. They'll want me to go up there to hang out also. So, but we're not, I don't know. He seems like he's pretty chill about it. He is just like, he's pretty chill. I don't know. Like the vibe I get from it is like, it wasn't like devastating to him, and it was like an understandable thing. And like the thing I was saying about like when to tell, but like, you know, there's no way anyone getting these donations in the 80s thought that there would be this weird technology where
yes,
spit in a cup and then everyone's like, here's your dad. It's like, what? How could this have happened?
And I think the discourse is a lot clearer now. I think like a lot of people have on paper like a plan, you know.
Right.
I think a lot of people make those decisions in advance.
And like it's like not like adoption though, you know. It's not like you got a kid after it was born with that. It's from somewhere that had to be. It doesn't have a story. It's like they went to a bank.
Yeah, they know.
They went to a doctor. They put sperm in them, and then they just pretended it was whoever's sperm, and it doesn't matter. And so I kind of am on that side where I don't know. That's the thing. Like to me, it wasn't that crazy, but to like other people in my family, even they're like, "This is crazy." And I'm like, "Okay, so it is."
So they've had a different reaction to it.
Yeah, I'd say. Well, my sister and mom reacted differently than I did. They're not really interested in any of it.
Oh, any of it?
And
really
so
your mom
didn't know, right, that your dad had been a sperm donor.
Well, I don't know. Yo, also, I do not want to bring it up with my mom. She doesn't really want to talk about it. So I'm like, I don't have that detailed info on how she, I only know what my dad, and I'll tell him like when we meet, but she doesn't want to hear about it. So I don't really know. I assume she knows that he donated sperm in the 80s. I think what she was really upset about, understandably, was that he found out about it and didn't tell her for a minute.
Right.
Because I don't know what the fuck he was thinking. Like, I can cuss, right? It's okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck he was thinking. He's such an idiot. It's like, yo, if you just come out with this right away, it's like, just say it. And she's going to find out about it eventually. Women always find out. He taught me that, so I don't know why.
I know, and hilariously, it's not like he did anything wrong. It's not like he cheated on you.
Right, exactly.
And you would never think that that's a thing you need to reveal. Like, hey, just so you know, I donated sperm. Like, you'd never think that you'd have to reveal that. I mean, I gotta think nowadays when you donate sperm, you probably know that the reveal is going to happen eventually. I think all that's made very clear nowadays. Sure. I doubt it was back then.
Yeah. Well, now people know that you can find out about that pretty easily.
But now I think it's even more than that, though. My understanding is now on the contract is a thing that basically says that, you know, you have to allow them to find you later in life, but you have no legal obligations. So I think I'm pretty sure that, don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure that there's no legal obligations in terms of fatherhood. But I do believe most of the time you have to allow yourself to be found, or certainly that they're allowed to find out who you are at a certain age, I think. But don't quote me on that.
And are they entitled to any of like your father's, like if touch wood, he passed away or whatever, could they be like, I'm a child, I'm entitled to part of that house?
I don't think so. I don't know the legal. I don't know legal jargon. I don't think, unless he decided to write them into his will last second and be like, these are my kids. Like,
yeah.
He doesn't think that they're his long lost kids. And that's not, I don't think anyone is thinking that they're his long lost kids. They're not thinking it. I'm not thinking it. But like, I think some of the worry in people in my family would be like, do they think they're his long lost kids? Are they going to kill? And don't get me wrong. I've had the nightmare, the vision where they kill me to replace me or something. They're like, I'm the real one now. And I'm like, have you in the bag or something, show up somewhere and be like, how'd you get here? Then I'm dead or something like that. I don't think anyone's on that page. I think, and everyone found out at about, everyone's like, I'm 30 now. I found out when I was 28, probably. He did it before I was born. So they're older than me. I'm the youngest. I think one of them might be like 4 months older than me. And that's like the youngest of them. So they're all in their 30s. One of them's married. A couple of them have been married. So they're like, they have their own lives and their own shit. So I don't think this is as devastating a bombshell as like, if you dropped it on like a 17-year-old who was having problems or something, already upset, and then you say something like that, I think it's going to be different. But I think everyone has been is like an adult and they've been processing it pretty well.
So do you think for most people, this has just been like a fun addition to their lives?
I think so. Yeah. They all came to New York once, or like not all of them, but five diblings came and one of their wives, and they came and they just showed up. They came for a day. I happened to have a comedy show. They all came down to the show. They watched.
Did you say on stage that your diblings were there?
Yeah. Well, I was also, at the time this was happening, I was doing this bit about it. I was talking about it on stage for, you know, I had like a, it was like a 5 minute, and it was an ongoing thing. Cause I was like, I don't even know how many there are total, but like at one point earlier in the show, I was like, oh, from Omaha, Nebraska. And so it's like, woo. And I was like, all right, well, hold on just a second. Like, also from Nebraska, they're just my diblings. But yeah. I was like, we'll talk about, but yeah, they were, so we hung out, and it was just like, they really were just fascinated to know what my dad was like, kind of, and like what I was like, and to see how, if there's like similarities, like nature versus nurture. It's like almost watching an experiment, right? You get to just live it. You're like, okay, here's people with all the same, like half the same DNA, and then a different mix, a different X, and let's see what is different about everyone. And, you know, they've all lived. I mean, no one's done, there's no murders. That's cool. I mean, no one's killed anyone. No perms.
That's some... Yeah, some good anti-murder sperm.
Yeah. I mean, my dad, he's got a strong, it's a strong batch, you know, he's a chill guy.
Was there any, was it other than the physical stuff that you could see, was there any other stuff that was clear as day that runs through you guys? Did you guys ever sort of settle upon any similarities that were obvious?
We all like smoking weed. There's sometimes mannerisms. I don't know, because it's hard, because I also, since I was looking for him, I'm like, is that something that my dad? Yeah. And it's like, it's so, the face is so distracting. You're like, well, that was a mannerism of my dad, or her eyebrows are just shaped like that. And that's the thing that they always do. Hard to say.
Yeah, I was just curious.
They're all pretty different, but also, you know, one of them, One of the girls is like, she lived in Mexico for like 6 years on a farm, like growing her own food and shit. And I'm like, that's shit my sister would do to a teen.
Yeah, that's very like, Georgia.
It's like, that could, that, and they, you know, and they even look kind of similar. So I was like, and she's like a dancer. I'm like, so there's similar vibes. One's a graphic designer. I think he designs websites, and my dad's a graphic designer now. He's an artist. So there is sort of like an underlying, we all sort of have
the
that
creative
artistic
gene
bug.
Is in there, right?
Yeah. The creative gene is definitely in there. Everyone sort of is doing something in a creative fashion, even though the graphic designer, I think, is the only one with like a real good job. But
so what's the number at now that you know of?
I think it's at 8. It's 8 or 9.
Wow.
And there's a couple that, you know, that don't really reach out. There's actually the two that really didn't want to reach out at first, they ended up meeting up with some of the other ones that met up with me. So I think they're coming around to the idea of it. And like I said, you know, I don't even think anyone has to come around to the idea of it. If you don't want to be involved, I think that's fine. For me, it doesn't take anything away. And in fact, I'm like pretty interested in it. And I think they're all pretty cool. They've all been really nice. The guy who lives in Boston, he messages me all the time. We talk about football. He's a Patriots fan. I'm an Eagles fan. So we talk about everything that pops up in football that's going on, or sports. And now that sports have been happening, he offered me, he had a place to hide away from COVID on an island up in Massachusetts or Connecticut. So he offered me, he's like, if you ever want to come, if you ever got to get out the city, you're welcome to come with us. So they've been like super friendly, and it's been nice. Like, it's been nice. They'll come, they'll just like be drive through New York on the way to somewhere, and we'll get breakfast or something.
Yeah. And it's never been awkward or too much.
No, you know, it's like, I mean, I gotta be honest. The first time we all hung out, like after the show, we just like, I was like, you guys want to go out? We can go drink. They're like, let's just go smoke weed and talk. And I was like, cool. Yeah. Right. Obviously that's sick with me. And then by the end of that, when I was leaving, I got pretty emotional, because I was just like, you know, I'm really close with my dad. I love my dad so much. And it's cool to see like all these people like who kind of have his Gene. Like, they kind of carry the same chillness and the same air. The things I like about my dad, like, I think I'm being carried. And I think I'm never, me and my sister are probably never going to have kids. So I'm like, oh, man, these guys can have kids. Spread more of my dad's a good guy. I don't know. Spread his shit around. I like it. I'm fine with it. They're not my, they don't have to be related to me, but that's his shit. And I think he did a good job with us. So, and those kids turned out okay. So I'm like that. I was like, yeah, I was like, no, you know, it's just, it's so nice. So happy.
that's nice though. But that just goes to show that it's something more than just meeting new people. There's no doubt
right.
that there must be something in our being that right. registers the, now, whether it's a narrative or whether you feel it separately because it's genetic, you felt a different connection with them for sure.
Right. And yeah, and I guess I felt more empathetic because I was really able to be like, wow, like how is this for them? This must be so mind blowing for them. And like for me, this is like not as big a deal because it's my dad. Yeah. So it's like, and none of them, and that's the thing. None of them have been like my dad too. They don't call him dad. I'm like, I don't know what I should call him because I call him dad. But then I'm like, should I say Joe if we're all talking? And they're like, whatever. yeah. Matter. And I'm like, yeah.
B71876.
Yeah. We all got barcodes tattooed. So we all shaved our heads, started a cult.
The Comstocks.
Yeah.
The Comstocks, as my dad called you.
Yeah. Oh man, and that's the thing. I got called Cumstock, you know, growing up all the way. Like everyone called me that, and then it turned out we're Cumstockers. It's run, it runs in my family.
I assume that's the show.
Yeah, that's where my family name comes from. One who stocks cum.
I can't wait till we're all watching this TV series.
Getty Images of fucking.
Yeah, if you need a writer, I'll come in and sit in on a few episodes. Help.
Yeah, that's great.
I met your show, Jack, with your eight siblings.
Yeah. It's like Kate. What's the Kate plus eight? Me and Kate. Anyway, but, you have eight kids.
Wait. So go ahead, Katie. Sorry.
Oh no, but so I know you already said you'd never be worried about. So you'd never be like talking to a girl on a night out, and you'd be like, because you feel like you would already sense that they related to you.
Just, yeah.
I would be scared to ever have sex again.
Yeah. Honestly, you know, my dad's pretty hot, so I guess it'd probably be okay. Yeah. I'd be like, fucking myself. So. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not that. I don't think it was that good a sperm that half of New York is now running around looking like your dad. But yeah, I don't know. They did look. I was like, I did have the thought though. I was like, is she hot? I don't know. Like, are they attractive to me? But I was like, I think they just like it. Just looks like so much like me that I stare because I'm like fascinated. But not,
yeah.
I think if I saw her at a bar, I'd be like, "Is that my fucking sister? Look at that girl. What's wrong? Yeah. What's up with that?" I'd like go up to her with my phone and be like, "This is my dad, and this is you. What's going on?"
Yeah, it's
freaky, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I'd stick a swab in their mouth and be like, "Spit on this. Let me find it. I gotta know."
You're like, "What kink is this?"
Yeah.
So what the article that I read was this guy was up to 20. This donor was up to 20 people that had contacted.
Right. He was like a professor, right?
Oh, you read that article too?
Yeah.
I think it's that guy. So he was basically saying that there was like a huge variation between the desires that people had. And I think there was one of them that definitely was sort of like looking for not a father, but she wanted a relationship with him that was more than just this random person that is created by your sperm. She definitely wanted like, you know, and he was fine with that, down to just somebody that just thought it was cool that they knew that he existed. But your father hasn't had much. It's been sort of fairly uniform in terms of his involvement with them, right?
Yeah. And no one's really been like reaching out for anything like that. And I don't think I think one guy kind of had a problem because he was like, my dad's a Republican. So there was like that he was like a super liberal, and he was like, it was shaking for him to find out that his biological dad is an idiot. So,
yeah, but that can happen with the dad that raised him.
I mean, having a
normal father-son experience.
Right. Yes, right. Yes. I'm like, dude, trust me, I fight with him daily. So it's like, we don't talk about politics because I want to keep loving him and respecting him as my father. But
In fact, I'm almost sure that that same narrative was in the article too. I think that one of the dynamics was that. I think it was the offspring that was quite conservative and was arguing with the
Okay.
I think, but
okay.
Yeah.
See, my dad used to be liberal. He was a Democrat till he had a real job and a family, and then he became a Republican just tax reasons only, I guess. So I don't know. He's just an idiot, but he's a good man. So
he is a good man.
So you say you're not going to have kids? Would you donate sperm?
Thought about it. Guess I don't think
family tradition going.
I don't think I get any money for it.
Bit of that sticky icky icky.
I got the sticky icky. I mean, if you got the seed, you might as well sow it. But I don't want to raise any of it. It seems ideal for me. I'm like, spread it out, get a bunch of little me's running around that I'll just like maybe run into one day.
Yeah, when they're raised, is over.
Yeah, when they're like 25 and smoking weed and chill, I'd be like, amen. Hey, what's up? I'm your dad. you want to paint this house? Let's do something. Forgot what I was about.
No, we were just joking around about that you would ever donate sperm, you know.
Oh yeah, would I donate sperm? Yeah, I mean, I would love to be an uncle. My sister doesn't want kids either, so I gotta just maybe I'll just like be like, hey, does anyone want a kid that's not mine that I can be part of?
That's the whole premise of where the thing came from. Right. The desire to have a kid and the desire not to raise it.
Right. Yeah. It's funny too, because my dad on paper he's so good at art that he coasted through college. Like he got a full scholarship and like graduated from college. So he had a degree. He's like a really good artist. And it's like on paper, he's like 5'10", I don't know, very average all around build, slim. I was like, on paper, these guys had to be like, this guy is the artistic mind that we want as our child. And then you meet my dad and he like loves toys. And he's like, his office is just action figures. He loves collecting toys. And like, he's into it so goofy and he's such a goofball that I'm like, I bet on paper, they had no idea that this is the man. Like if they saw the man and put it up to the paper, they'd be like, okay. All right. This is why our kids are silly now instead of Harvard graduates. But
silly. That's mad.
But I mean, that's pretty cool. So now, did you ever think of sort of turning this into like a one-man show or a documentary or anything like that?
It's cool as a bit. I started doing it as a bit and then like as a stand up bit, and it got to a point where it was like a full 10 minutes of me talking about it. And so I thought about expanding, but I also kind of stopped talking about it for a while just because it was so fresh and new for me, and everything that I intake, I immediately regurgitate. But then once I think about it, I'm like, maybe I should wait till. Like my mom wants to watch every stand-up video I post. So it's like, I don't know. And if she doesn't want to talk, like, you know, even this, I'm like going to be like, you know, mom, I did this podcast. I talk about the dibblings. Like, so, you know, I don't know if you want to hear it or whatever. And not like she is going to have a visceral. She's not like trying to kill them or anything, but you know, it's just like,
I understand it's a weird, touchy
thing that is, I've been trying to figure out exactly how I would like to navigate it. With my mom, with them, I don't want to say anything that I think they're feeling and then have them be like, yeah, that's not how we're feeling. Like they're adults.
Well, I mean, I personally think it'd be a very interesting documentary series, just in the sense that it's not just about these stories, your story, their story, the way they interconnect, but it's also about nature versus nurture, genetics, the fallout, you know, because, you know, all these things are solutions to problems like people can't have kids, you know, sperm donation, lesbian, gay couples wanting to have kids, you know, all these things are solutions, but they come with the unintended consequences that you don't know. Now we're learning about them. So it is
right.
I mean, you guys really, what this is really like the first generation of an experiment. It's a huge
finding
experiment.
Out.
So really, I would think that there's a hell of a lot to explore in it, you know?
Right. And I had the idea of driving across the country and just like driving to each one of them and filming and just like doing a documentary style thing of being like, you know, meeting. And then, but also then another part of me was like, these are just like regular people with regular lives that found something out. I'm a comedian, yeah, but like I would have to, that would be a process that I definitely would have to talk with all them and have set up in a way.
Yeah. And
that would be like, yeah. So
what I think once you're on, even with your mom, she's so supportive of your comedy. Like it's
right.
I think if she were like, oh, this is a good joke. Yeah. I think once you just talk, I know it's kind of nervous.
Yeah. I think she'll come around on it, and she's a very loving person. We take, you know, she like is always taking people in, but I think the fact that,
yeah, she took me in.
Yeah.
She taught me how to draw on eyebrows. It's changed my life.
Yeah, she saved you, and she tried to save your sister, but she's learning. She's young. She'll figure it out in a couple of years.
All of me and my sisters now do our makeup the way your mom taught. You know, your mom's a lovely person.
Yeah,
so
I think it was like she also was a little more shell-shocked and feels
her journey.
A little more emotions. Right. And everyone's like encountering, finding out about it. I mean, she found out about it. You know, he didn't even tell her. She just like, his phone blew up when he was asleep. And it was like, she's like, who's Thalia? God, here I go. Who is Rebecca? I don't know.
No, but I really sympathize with your mom because,
oh yeah,
you know, it's weird when you, and I'm not speaking on her behalf, but I would think it's weird when your family that you've always known suddenly have these half siblings that have, I mean, I know they're not your siblings, but these siblings appear and it's nothing to do with her. And that is weird because suddenly you have this extra part of your journey that has nothing to do with her and she didn't expect it. That's tough, you know?
Yeah, dude, exactly. Also, that's exactly.
Documentary wise, it's fucking fascinating.
Right? Yeah,
think about
yeah.
your career, man.
It's like, I know.
Your family.
Your mother's going to be happy with that money in the end.
Right. Yeah,
she'll be mad for the first year and then buy her a car.
Yeah. If I can buy her a new car, then once I'm guaranteed enough money to get her something big, then I'll do the documentary.
But yeah, well, but I understand it's tough for her, yeah.
Yeah,
but it's also as well, like, you know, you have a family, there's trust built. And then when something like that happens, it's hard not to question and to believe. When you find out about it, you're like, what is the truth? So it's just hard to get your head around it.
Right. And like, I think that story with the professor, I don't think that was all like random sperm donation either. I think that guy also was like donated to a lot of people he just knew.
Oh, is that right?
I believe so, but I'm not, you know, also don't quote me because it was a while ago that I was looking into that, but it sounded like he was a little weirder about, he's like, you know, long hair hippie professor who's like, all right, spread it, love. And like, sounds like he was having sex with like a lot of people. And a lot of them also weren't just donations. They were just students he had sex with. So, and that obviously isn't, but you know, and it's like, yeah, why, if he wasn't, you know, if everything was just a sperm donation, which I fully believe, but why you got to hide it? I think he was just being stupid. I think he made a bad call about that. And
you mean your dad?
Yeah, my dad.
Yeah.
Like, why not say anything? But I don't think he thought that they were going to reach out to me. I think someone reached out to him like months before they reached out to me and were just like, I found this out. And he gave him the history. But I know he was fascinated by it.
I got to think it's quite the stomach drop, though.
Yeah. So,
like
for him?
Well, you know, I think like somebody calls you and says, why? You know, I looked at your phone. Who's?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, like just suddenly calling and being like, I think I might actually be your offspring. That's a moment.
Right.
So, I mean, I give a little bit of sympathy to your father, just like having no fucking idea. I mean, how many, you know, it's not like there's loads of discourse out there on how to deal with random offspring contacting you.
Right.
And they just didn't stop as well. Like the number just kept growing.
Right.
You're just like, oh, there's no end to this.
Yeah, they just kept doing 23andMe. And I guess my dad's just, like, they used his a lot at the sperm bank. They had a good seed there. So, yeah, I don't, I don't think he's ever had like an agenda about it, and I don't know why he would try to hide it. I mean, I know why he would try to hide it, because he's afraid that he's
going to
get in trouble. Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
He deserves a little bit of room, I think, for trying to process it himself.
Sure. Yeah. That's fair too. That's fair. But yeah, I think he was just like, I didn't think anyone would ever even know about it. And it's just something that I don't think he was that heavy interested in it. Like he's they messaged him and then he responded, but they were like the ones who found out that they were their biological dad was not their the dad that raised them or whatever. And so I think they were like, when they reached out to him, he was like, this is crazy, but they were, didn't really, they weren't trying to talk. So he just,
but it's funny because
wrote it off as nothing.
They have more of a relationship with you now.
Yeah. And you know, we're all the same age and it's just kind of like,
it's like a fun thing for you guys.
Right. Right. I think that's what it is too. And since we're all similar age, it is, we're all looking, I think all of us are looking at it through the lens of like nature versus nurture. Look at, this is like an experiment that we're all a part of. Like, let's see how much we have in common and like, let's hang out and they're all cool. And I'm down. I'm friendly. So I'm always down to be friends with people. And like, you know, if they just want to be friends and hang out when they're around, I'm down to do that. I think that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's cool. It's a totally unique experience that you're having. So it's cool to be on your side of it rather than be the person looking for the, you know, looking to see where they're coming from genetically, you know?
Right. Right. I think what, I think once they met me and heard me talk and talk about my dad and stuff too, they all felt like, okay, this was like a good guy. Also, that we came from, that they, he was
they
like,
were content with
You know, he was a good, he's a good father to me and a good man. So I think they were like, okay, this is like, it's not like they found out he was John Wayne Gacy or something, killing kids and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my God, that'd be awful. Yeah. Imagine you find out your sperm donating dad is like in prison.
It's like Ted Bundy.
Jesus. So they're probably delighted. Yeah, they probably,
you'd be, it's smart, easier to you'd get be the- smart and good looking, but you just have to just do, watch your attitude.
It's easier to get the gossip on your dad as well from you than to ask directly. So to ask how he, instead of being like, hey, are you a nice guy, like, oh hey, was your dad
right
a nice
right
guy?
And you can definitely like, we're all having a conversation at the same time without probing. We were finding out if like what the connection was between all of us and if it was like, if we're just going to be strangers or if there could, we could be friends. And, you know, some of us, they're still in contact. They messaged me. They went out to, they had like a dibbling meeting in Vegas in October. They wanted me to come out, but I was already going to Denver. So they're like, we'll fly you out. We know you're broke and living in New York City. So we'll fly you out because we have jobs. And I was like, I would love to come, but I'd already planned a trip. So I couldn't go to that, but they send me all the pictures of them and, so they keep me in contact in the loop.
So you're based in NY?
Yeah.
So when our listeners go looking for you, where are they going to find you?
In Brooklyn?
What's your Insta?
My Instagram?
In case any sisters or brothers from Ireland.
Yeah, I like that.
I don't mean that.
Like,
you never know.
Never assume. My Instagram is at snackcomstock, and you can, that's, I really just use Instagram, so follow me on Instagram. Also, yeah.
Go ahead.
I also have a web series on Amazon Prime called The Alley, so you can find me. You can go
to
that.
Alley?
Watch that. Yeah, The Alley. It's about a magician who works at a bowling alley, so.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. It was really fun, and we're working on another season, so we're hoping to get some more views on that.
And some That's fucking great. Money.
I will
donating say, all the money right now. Any money that is made from Amazon watching it goes to Black Lives Matter movement stuff. So.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
What were you going to say, Katie?
Oh, I was going to say, just for the listeners, when Jack's dad was in Ireland and I said that it was only a 15-minute walk from one side of the city to the other side, was this when he screamed, what did he scream? Fuck, I don't want to walk.
No. I don't remember. That sounds like him because when we were in New York, remember we were walking.
Or maybe that was when we were
I think it was in New York and we were walking to that bar Precious Metal from the L train. It was like, we got about two blocks. I was like, we're almost there. And then it's like a 15-minute walk. And about 8 minutes in, he just goes, fuck! He just yells in the middle of this. We're like, what? What? It's like, how long is this God. Walk? We're like, God, just shut
Every
up.
Every time he would see castles or churches, he'd be like, look at this shit.
Yeah, this is the thing about me that I got from my dad also. We're so easily amazed and fascinated. I'm like, I pick up a rock. I'm like, look at this rock. This is crazy. So he's like, castle, tree, the birds. And so it's like, this whole experience was like, too much for our brains.
We brought him on a hike in Cork and he smoked a cigar up the whole hike.
Some guys like walking and smoking cigars, you know?
Hey, you gotta.
It was like up a mountain.
Some people need motivation to get to the top.
So anyway, Jack, listen, man, this is actually, in my opinion, well, for me personally, one of the most interesting chats we've had on the shift.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
I thank you for sharing it with such humor and patience.
Yeah, totally. If you have any more questions that you want to message me about or anything.
Oh, I'll be hitting you up.
In private. I can get deeper, maybe.
Yeah, no problem. No, this was pretty deep. Fair play to you, man.
Thank you. It was pretty deep. Yeah, thanks for having me.
So you can head off. Myself and Katie will wrap it up here.
All right, cool.
Yeah, thanks, Jack. Hey, love you.
Thanks, Katie. So love you. Nice to meet you, Dan.
Nice to meet you, man. Really enjoyed it. Thank you. Yeah, see you, man. Bye. So that was Jack. Katie, great guest.
I know, Jack's great. I can't believe I hadn't thought of getting him on before, but just when I had seen your other podcast, I was like, oh my God, we have to get Jack. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. It's fascinating.
No, yeah.
I mean, I can't understand how he's not putting that together as a documentary series, because it's just ready to pop, you know?
Well, he was talking before to me about writing like a comedy series based on it, but I think it is just he's nervous not to offend or upset anybody.
Which is understandable, but that's a journey in itself. But even that is interesting. You know, that's the thing about a documentary. It's the story evolves and you sort of find the story as it's evolving. And part of the story will be some, you know, anyway, whatever.
I think it's a great idea. He probably will after you.
Anyway, that was great. So anyway, let's go. That was long. I got to bring the dog back to the shelter for a training session. I actually, the dog has been eating my dad's chair, which we kind of left an old chair in the house because it was my dad's chair. And it's funny because I've been looking for an excuse to get rid of it because, you know, it has all this nostalgic value, but it's kind of like bullshit, you know, it's just a chair. So he started eating the chair, which I've been stopping him, but I haven't been stopping him because I care about the chair. I've been stopping him because you don't want him to think that eating furniture is okay.
Yeah.
But during that whole chat, he was eating the chair and I was just like, you know what? I'm getting rid of this fucking chair now anyway. So to stop him distracting me during the pod, I was just like, fuck it, eat away. So the chair is quite chewed up now as a result of that chat. But what are you going to do?
It was worth the chat.
It was great. I really, really enjoyed it. And he's a great, very funny guy. Nice guy. So thank you so much for organizing that, Katie.
Yeah, no, he's great. His whole family came over to Ireland with me a few years ago. So they're lovely, lovely cool. people. So, his sister's a comedian as well, a comedian in Denver.
Oh, right. Is that why you were so familiar with her?
You know, his sister he grew up with.
No, I know, yeah. But I just tell that you knew a lot about her, which was...
Oh, yeah. So she came over to Ireland as well. But the two of them, they're like, they're born like a year and a half apart or something. But they're like twins Irish the way they go on. They're like, yeah. They're like super close and they're both... She's just amazing. Like, she's a really good comedian as well.
Oh, cool.
So funny, that boat.
All right, well, remember everybody, subscribe to the Patreon if you want to watch the video. And also... Lately, the Patreon's been going up first, actually.
Yeah, it's early access. And I've been putting up more stuff as well.
Yeah, early
someone access. Someone requested a Boris ep, so I did that.
We talked about Boris a lot.
Yeah, but we didn't say the actual... I remember at the time I didn't want to like talk about the actual story, so I just did how we met and like the more private stuff.
Oh, good for you.
There's a lot of stuff I hadn't mentioned just because I didn't want it. I didn't want him to have a reason to come and murder me.
Yeah.
And because I was just processing everything that happened. Because, you know, when you're like high on love and then afterwards you start to be like realize all the red flags. So
great.
I just did a part one. I still have to do a part two. Okay, but cool. Even watching it back, I was like, Jesus Christ.
Well, next week you can give us a blurry update.
I know. Oh, God. There's so much to update.
Okay, great. Well, hold your fire, Katie.
Okay.
We've got so much already. Let's give us something to talk about next week. So, all right, well, we'll be back next week, Monday night into Tuesday morning. I'm at Des Bishop. Katie?
At Katie Boyle Comic. The Patreon is the Patreon, the Shift Podcast.
Patreon.com.
I forgot the name of our podcast for a second.
Patreon.com/The Shift Podcast. And don't forget reviews on iTunes and 5 stars and then Spotify. Let everyone listen to us on Spotify, which may or may not be the future of podcasting. That's it. We'll see you guys next week.
Great. Bye. Have a great day.
Bye. Bye, Katie.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.